Wednesday Group did a...
Shall I just move that up a bit?
Wednesday Group did a Lent course this year called Act on Poverty, and it's that we're going to bring you this morning. We were concerned about poverty in the whole world, but particularly in the UK, so we'll concentrate this morning on the UK. There will be no sermon, there will be pictures, there will be videos, there will be people speaking, and we hope that through those you would hear the voice of God. The leaflets that you've got on your seats, I'll talk about later. Act on Poverty starts here. We celebrate that God wills for the world peace and justice, known in the Middle East as Shalom or Salam. This is not an abstract idea or something only possible in another world or in eternity, but a real hope for this time and place. This justice is proclaimed in the Bible by the law and the prophets and is embodied in Jesus. It flows from the simple fact that God loves the world. When what God loves is threatened, those who love God cannot remain neutral, cannot remain silent. When justice and peace are threatened, we have to speak out. So we are speaking out as the Wednesday Group. But first of all, some worship from Iona. Howard and Andrea are sorry they can't be with us today, but they've sent us some worship material to use today from Iona. So please, will you stand? And we will read some words together. Join in with the ones in heavy type, will you? Don't stand if it's too much, you know, if you prefer to sit, but those who can stand. So let us praise God. O God, who created the heavens and stretched them out, we praise you. You made the earth and all that lives here. We praise you. You gave breath to all creatures and your spirit to all people. We praise and thank you. That the eyes of the blinded be opened, the poor hear the good news, the captives be brought out of darkness, that the wealth of the world serve the good of all. Your kingdom come, O God. Your will be done. Then let us sing God a new song. With joy, let us honour our Maker. So we'll sing, and then after the song, will you sit for our prayers? So we sing together.
Oh, yeah. your voice and give him glory, for he is worthy to be praised. Lift up his name with the sound of singing, lift up his name in all the earth. Lift up your voice and give him glory, for he is worthy to be praised.
Just and merciful God, we glimpse your presence in the world you created, in its power and in its beauty, music and poetry, in its fertility, with the possibility of food for everyone.
Yet we see the power misused, beauty marred, discord and lies dividing humankind, failure to care causing many to go hungry and die. Where are you, God?
We hear the good news that Jesus brought, the affirmation of the value of every human life, the gospel that commands us to seek peace with justice. Yes, our God, you are with us in this world.
Yet we see the good news denied by apathy, mocked by prejudice, hatred, and a refusal to forgive. And we feel helpless in the face of suffering. Where are you, God?
So we say together, please join in here. You are present where women and men of goodwill still choose to live in your way. Caring for creation and for each other, courageously speaking truth to power. You are there when elderly people share their wisdom. You are there when street children dance in the rain. You are there wherever, in this broken world, hope is still alive. Thank you, our God, for being present with us now.
Amen.
Amen. Do the next song. We're going to sing again now.
Breathe on.
Do sit down. We asked ourselves what poverty was. Obviously, poverty is something different in Somalia, where actually your child might die of hunger, than in the UK. But nevertheless, there is serious poverty in the UK. We're going to have a quiz. Stuart is going to teach us what poverty is.
Hello again. I've got five questions concerning poverty. Two relate to the world, and then some come to the UK, and then some come to Sandbach. And there are percentages. So I'll give you the first one, you'll get the idea. What percent of the world's population live on less than $1.5 a day? Is it 25%, 16%, or 12%? Hands up for 25. Okay, 16 and 12. Well, it's actually 16, so although most of you thought it was 25, so which is probably a natural thing to do because there is a lot of poverty about. Question two, what percent of children in the developing world are underweight? Is it 20%, 30%, or 40%? Hands up for 20. 30, 40. Vast majority 40. It's actually 20. So you think extremes, and it's actually the other way around. In the UK, I'm going to move down to the UK in a minute, Act on Poverty, an organisation, defines poverty like this. Poverty means that not having enough resources to meet household needs and to participate in society. What does this mean in effect? So two questions about the UK. Based on the definition, there are about 9 children in every class of 30 living in poverty. How many of them do you think have a working parent? It's either 3, 5, or 7. Hands up for 3. Very timid hands there. 5, 7. I think it's sort of evens between 5 and 7. It's actually 7. Last one for the UK. Of the poorest 20% of households in the UK, how many are in arrears with their household bills? A quarter of them? Nearly half of them? Or more than half? A quarter? No hands. Half? Nearly half? More than half of them? It's actually half. I've been half, and nearly half is. And finally, in Sandbach, just to bring it down to where we all live, how many people visit the pantry each week? Is it 25, 35, or 45? 25? 35? 45. Exactly the right answer, 45%. Quite sobering. And that's the end of the quiz.
45% visitors, on average, I think, means 110 mouths to be fed, which is quite a lot each week. I was given the first theme from the Lent course to do. And the theme is broken, because based on those statistics, we are a broken society. We are a broken world. I mean, in Britain, the sixth wealthiest country in the world, we can't feed our children. And abroad, you know, poverty is extreme. Our Bible study was based on the Good Samaritan. You know the story. Man is injured, seriously injured. Two people come down on the road and say, oh dear, oh no, I'm busy, I'll go. What's going to happen to me? If I stop, the robbers might get me. So they go on, and his enemy comes down the road, looks after him.
takes him to somewhere of safety until he gets better. Martin Luther King says there are two questions you can ask when you see somebody in need. One question is, what's going to happen to me if I stop and help this man? The other one is, what is going to happen to this man if I don't stop? And this is the better question, says Martin Luther King. So the question, what is going to happen to this person if I don't stop, is my memorable quote. We're going to see a video from two churches. They had heard that invitation to stop and help and said yes. Particularly their concern was asylum seekers. One is from Runcorn, one's from London. Of Jesus, we need to think about how we be the welcome that they need. What would Jesus do? Jesus himself was a refugee, and so in a sense, as we greet them, as we welcome them, as we serve them, it is as though we are serving Christ. And then from London, there is a lack of compassion, I think, at the moment, and I think we see we are at the coal face of decisions. So when decisions are made in government, we see the immediate impact on people. We see more people dropping into poverty. I really think there needs to be some compassion for asylum seekers in particular, a recognition of how much pain they're going through, how broken they are. For example, I see many asylum seekers. They're meant to wait 6 months for an interview, and they are waiting many, many years. By existing, you deserve some compassion, love, and to be treated as human. And I think it's the job of institutions and governments to make the effort to understand that and to enact it. Technologically, this is a complicated service. The next question, question one was about the broken society. Question two is about, where is Jesus? So question two, session two, is about located, Mark.
But then Durham might not have time to sort the sound out.
Right, okay, that's better, isn't it? Yeah. So, in Mark chapter 2, we read that Jesus called Levi, the tax collector, to be one of the disciples. And then he went round for a meal. And the Pharisees were appalled. They said, effectively, why does this man hang out with tax collectors and sinners? He was often not where he was supposed to be. As a baby, where do you find him? In a stable, not a palace. Then he didn't go home to Nazareth, he went to Egypt. And when he grew up, you get the feeling that he sort of chose to be in the wrong places. He seemed actively to seek out unsuitable places for a religious leader to be. And in this story, he's in the home of a tax collector, hated man, an outcast. And what Jesus is doing is showing us that this is where God's love's found. God's love and light and God's kingdom. This is where God's love can break down oppression. This is where love, God's love has a go at unjust power structures and heals divisions. So we've got another video, and we might have to read the text again, but we'll see. These are from South London Mission, and it shows how they work with their communities. Their communities often get neglected and marginalised, and they work with them to bring change.
In Bermondsey, based in Bermondsey since the 1980s, set up in response to some of the most impoverished areas of London. So it got a place of extreme wealth and places of extreme poverty. One project that uses community partnerships is Bright Box. It's a meal kit that families can have. Bright Box is a meal kit that contains all the ingredients for a family of five. You prepare a meal. Ah. You can get in. I'll let you read it yourself. This is a mum who had Mummy's Republic, and they lobbied Parliament.
No, I said, where would you think Jesus would put... Oh, it's the wrong mic, I'm sorry.
Where would you think Jesus would put himself in Sandbach? The wrong place.
I'm sorry for those of you who can't see the words. I think there's not a lot we can do about it at this stage. We were commanded in session three to be prophetic, to speak out to communities what God says about poverty, how God wants to engage with poverty. And the church has this responsibility to be a prophetic church. Sue, as briefly as you can, please, because we are ever so behind. But, you know, do what you have to do. It's that microphone there.
Having lived in Norway for 11 years, I feel very humbled and deeply unworthy to be talking about poverty. This was an oil-rich country, and I lived on a farm with my husband in a barn conversion I designed, and we had views of mountains and forests as far as the eye could see. It was beautiful. Nature was everywhere. We were blissfully unaware of poverty. I came back alone to this country just over 5 years ago, a broken woman. When eventually I started to become aware of life around me after the pandemic, I was utterly shocked by the changes that had taken place. I began to ask, what are food banks and what are food pantries? What better than to refer back to the Book of Amos, where Amos speaks about acute anger at the extreme exploitation of the poor by the rich. Amos was not trained in great seats of learning for prophets. He was a very ordinary guy, a shepherd tending the flock, and he looked after sycamore fig trees, common in this area. Amos would not have, he would have shimmied up each tree just before they were ripening, cutting and bruising the fruit, a ghastly and lowly job. The fruit apparently tasted pretty awful when ripe, and was eaten by poor people. I recall hearing a series of sermons along with my husband on Amos in Cambridge Eden Church some 30 years ago. Howard Jones was there as a student at the same time and recalls the sermon too. However, the one thing I do remember of the sermon was it made Maggie Thatcher seem positively pink. Perhaps the most, not the most edifying thought to remember a sermon by, but actually it is actually true. Instead of Maggie Thatcher trickling, Maggie Thatcher's suspect trickle-down policy from the poor, from the rich to the poor, it was a trickle-up policy from the rich to the poor, milking and cheating the poor by the rich to get even richer. It made your hair stand on end. Amos is written in very poetic and beautiful language. Here is what is said. Chapter 4 says of the haughty woman, "Hear the word, you cows of Bethlehem on Mount Sinai. You women who oppress the poor and crush the needy and say to your husband, bring us some drink." You can just see it, can't you? Chapter 6 speaks to the men. "You lie in beds inlaid with ivory and lounge on your couches. You drink wine like a bowlful and use the finest lotions, but you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph." Chapter 5 speaks of cheating through the law and decrees. "You oppress the poor and force him to give you grain. You oppress the righteous and take bribes, and you deprive the poor of justice in the courts." In all this, God is so, so angry. He keeps a reckoning and says, all will be done. All will be end in judgment, and his judgment is severe. Even more severe is God's utter hatred of religious hypocrisy when he says in chapter 5, "I hate, I despise your religious festivals." And then in very poetic language, he says, "Let justice roll like a river, righteousness like a never-ending stream." How beautiful is that? How these ancient words relate to today's society. Fast forward to 60 years ago. Do these words seem relevant? Well, they are. They were the words of Martin Luther King in front of 250,000 people. The great "I Have a Dream" speech, and that one day it will be against, and that was a great gross injustice. It was televised around the world and started the great civil rights movement, and still resonates today. Again, fast forward even further. Only just recently, a 6-year inquiry on the Grenfell Tower tragedy told the horrendous story of suffering and death of very poor and vulnerable people, where bodies flew from the 14th floor to their death. Families turned alive from their flats, burnt alive from their flats, and living permanently scarred. Authorities knowingly accepted and allowed flawed materials that were known to burn violently. We had Boris Johnson's Partygate, with drunken parties at Downing Street and lying about it while people were losing their loved ones in the pandemic. Yesterday I heard a story of power and greed, where the obscene Mohammed Al-Fayed used his wealth to be a predator to harmless women. Between the ancient writings of the Bible and now, this text is as true today as it was then. But we are asked to be different by our faith. The Bible speaks throughout the pages, from Genesis to Revelation, about righteousness and justice. Psalm 82 speaks from the rooftops, "How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and the oppressed." In finishing, I had hoped to ask my niece Pip from Stockport and that she would come, but she's and as she is far more worthy to talk about poverty than me. She works for the homeless with a Christian charity, but is so overwhelmed with work that she is exhausted and couldn't come. But Pip gave one inspiring word, be kind. She's an artist, and her dream is to paint the homeless to live how to live their lives. Here is a poster from someone else who is doing exactly the same. Let's end poverty. Dreams on the one hand and reality on the other. Both are striking women. Sandra and Michelle have creative skills and have dreams they long to fulfill, but the reality is that they are on the front line of poverty. Sandra speaks four languages, and her dream is to have a small healthcare centre for women in Congo, but the reality is that she cannot even afford to take a bus. Michelle has a dream to be a motivational speaker to survivors of destitution. The reality is she's wearing her favourite fruit, strawberries, on her t-shirt, as she cannot afford them. When you are lonely, bewildered, life turned upside down through no fault of your own, what can we do as the Bible would teach us to do? I'm reminded here of the Princess of Wales speech this last week when she said about crisis in her own life, in her cancer journey. A crisis too I experienced 8 years ago, and I can identify with this completely. She said, crisis brings you face to face with your own vulnerability in a way you never considered before. You have a new perspective on absolutely everything, and most of all, the simple things in life which many take for granted. Simply loving and caring and being loved. As she releases a butterfly into the air, she says to other sufferers, I remain with you, side by side, hand in hand. Our darkness can become light, so let light shine. What better can we do, like Amos, a very ordinary man? We can get alongside people and show empathy, care, and love to those who are oppressed, and listen to their stories. Give hope. Give hope. Jesus points the way. He just said one new commandment in the New Testament to add to the 10 of the old. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another.
You are compassionate people. You all know what you would like to do to respond. Sometimes we don't feel we have much to offer. The position seems so huge that actually we don't seem to have much to offer in terms of money or time or energy or anything. I'm sorry, did the children want to go out? Are you happy playing at the front? Do what you like. Hilary, who thought she might not be here this morning, but actually is, recorded our next theme, which is to be generous. But does the sound work? We'll try the sound.
Is my mic. Okay. Good morning, everybody. What you can see there is a mite, which is the same type of mite as in the story of the widow's mite, which we're all very familiar with, I'm sure. And it's very tiny, as you can see. It's barely the size of a fingernail. And but this had the least value in all Jewish currency. And just before the story of the widow's mite, Jesus is talking about how the scribes devour widows' houses. And then just after that story, he's talking about how, you know, the disciples are saying, oh, look at this beautiful temple, and it's all adorned and it's wonderful. And he says, it's all going to be torn down. Not one, you know, stone will stay on another. And so the context of this story is very much on the corruption of what's happening within the temple, and with, there are many other examples of that. And then he sees, so what's the story? He sees, he's in the temple, he's watching, and he's opposite the treasury, and the boxes were such that if you, when you put some coins in the boxes, they made a clatter. And so the more coins you put in, the bigger the clatter. And so everybody knew when you were making a big donation. And he's watching people do this. And then comes along a lady who Jesus refers to as a poor widow. And you can barely hear probably the sound of two of these, oh, another picture, two of these little mites, there she is, going in that offering box. And Jesus sees this. And he says, he draws his disciples to him. And he says, I will tell you something. This poor widow has put in far more than all the others ever have done today, because she has put in her whole livelihood, everything that she's owned. What can we take from this? I would say the message is twofold here. First, he sees the whole of our circumstances. He knows us. He knows how we've come to church today. He knows the stresses that are on each of us. He knows the joys and he knows the sadnesses. And he understands. And he also knows that whatever we give is significant. It's not insignificant. And the message to us is that in our worst circumstances, as this, as he says, poor widow, we can still trust him, because this widow refused to grow bitter because of her circumstances. And she also refused to think that her offering was insignificant. She knew she'd be judged. She knew others were watching. But the one important person who saw was Jesus Christ, because he sees and he knows. And the second thing is that the religious leaders and the overseers of the temple treasury actually should have been the ones providing and caring for this lady. And so the second point is that, you know, they were supposed to be the good stewards of what we of what they were given. And so the point to us is twofold, isn't it? One, we can trust God. We can, this lady put in everything. She felt it was safer to do that and trust God for her provision than even keeping one of the mites to herself in the end, because she had nothing anyway. A mite might have bought a few slices of bread, maybe. So basically we are here to, you know, God has been generous to us, hasn't he? So we therefore can be generous. And this church is very generous, as I've discovered, as I've, the longer that I've been here, of all the activities that everybody's involved in. And the Lord delights in that. And so our responsibility is to say, Lord, what can we give? And we're going to possibly watch a video now, I think. We won't. Okay, Sue. Okay.
Because we haven't got the sound.
No.
And we
no.
have plenty more to put in. I'm sorry.
Tell them the story.
Yes.
Tell them...
The story of the video.
Oh, the story of the video, which you would have seen, is a church in Birmingham who serve meals to particularly the homeless in their area of Birmingham. And the particular thing that's important is how generously everybody gives. and how the homeless who are on the streets are actually sometimes the hosts serving at the banquet. It's called the street banquet, and they all eat down and sit down and eat together. But there is a huge amount of generosity, which is blessed by God, sort of manyfold, yes, over what is it actually originally given. Okay, thank you. Are we going to sing or shall we not sing? We'll sing a song, but we'll sing the first and the last verses, please. We'll sing it very quickly, yes. It's a song which you may not know the words of, but you will know the tune. Depressing, and it sort of is a good thing if we are concerned. So Mark is going to bring us hope.
But probably first I'm not. The reading that goes with this, I'm going to cut a little. It's Jesus teaching in the synagogues, went to Nazareth, opened Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And then he sat down and said, "This is fulfilled today." But it's not, is it? COVID, cost of living, armed conflicts, climate emergency. And it's not that bad for us, is it? People in the developing world are struggling all of that. People on poor estates in Crewe and Sandbach are struggling with the cost of living. People in Ukraine are dying. But actually, we look at and listen to that and we all struggle to stay hopeful. So the course asked, how do we develop practices of hope? And it's about doing something. What can we do? And there's generosity, as Hilary referred to. But I've got another slide there somewhere. Jesus just come back from the desert, and the devil tempted him to have authority over people, it says. And Jesus reads from Isaiah that God's power is about liberation and healing people who are suffering. This is what I'm here to do, says Jesus. This is the good news. And actually he says, I'm going to recruit these 12 people to help me do it. And then, you know, they went and recruited a few more. Are we here? This is a thought from a Catholic priest in Uganda who's worked with communities in Africa, suffering violence and poverty and all the rest of it. And he doesn't say they're without hope. Instead, he says, this is the practice of hope. Wrestle, struggle, be angry, mourn, be sad, and protest to God and to other people. We show our hope when we raise our voices to God and to the worldly powers, when we ask why and when we demand justice, and when we say there's a different reality. It's God's, the year of God's favour. Thank you.
And finally, we were asked to reflect on the ability to do things, hopeful things, together, that we don't have to act on our own. So now we come to Sandbach. There are opportunities in Sandbach for doing things to relieve poverty together. One of them is the food pantry. There is also a food bank. A food bank is where you receive a box of food because you're in an emergency situation. And you get it once because it's a crisis, but you don't get a second box of food, and it is brought to you. That's the food bank, and that operates from Wesley, from Unity Church, as does the food pantry. But the food pantry is different. You belong to the food pantry, and you can go and choose up to a certain amount of food, which is in Wesley. And you can choose what you would like. You are allowed a certain amount because of your family circumstances. And the food there is available to you. I have to say that the food pantry is running out of money. It receives generous donations from all over the place. It isn't enough. There are 48, I think, people coming every week. And they will receive £20 worth of food, having paid £3 themselves. So they will receive £17 worth of food. And so if you have any spare money, the food pantry at the moment is needing £1,600 a month to keep those people fed. So if you are able in any way to pledge a regular bit of giving, that would be very, very, very useful. Things which are difficult for the food pantry are things like buying fresh stuff, things that go in the fridge. You don't get those in people's harvest boxes. And forgive me, but there are some things which don't go in your harvest box, like feminine hygiene things for women and girls. You don't get that in your harvest box, but it is expensive and they need them. And so they have to be bought. So the food pantry buys quite a lot. So if you can possibly contribute a little bit to that, talk to Ian or talk to Bernie afterwards. Susie and Stuart work in the food pantry. They're going to tell us a bit about their experience.
What I'm going to sort of discuss is that the members of the pantry, us lot and Ian and everybody, some of them aren't churchgoers. There's a guy called Steve who plays tennis with me and Ian at Congleton Tennis Club. There's another lady, Jackie, who's also considering coming and helping out. And it's a sort of, I don't know, a two-edged sword, because we know the people that come every week. We know them by name. I even high-five one of the guys there and we talk about stuff. And it's just through no fault of their own, you know, they've had a great life, everything's going all right, and then they just fall off the end of a precipice. And we're doing what we can with the food, the basic requirements of trying to keep them alive. And that's my sort of pitch for today. If you feel you've got a couple of hours to come on a Thursday, either the morning or the afternoon, to help out, then please do, because we're always asking for helpers. And just one last thing, I'm thinking about the ripple effect. The people like supermarkets, who are really bad, aren't they? And all these other people are really, no, they're not. They're actually supplying lots of stuff. Fresh bread comes in, cornflakes, cereal, all sorts of stuff come from the outer people. And I know some of them aren't bad, because my son works for Asda. He told me to say that. Anyway, I promised I wouldn't ramble on, so I now pass you over to someone who doesn't ramble on, Susie.
Bit more pithy. Yeah, just to give you my experiences of the food bank. We were there sort of once a month. It's only on a Thursday, but if you haven't been there, do pop in and see what's going on there. Any time on a Thursday after 10 o'clock, you'd be very welcome. And it's a safe space. People come and not only will they get their groceries, but they will sit and chat and support each other. And this is the punters supporting them, each other. Church folk and non-church folk as well gather round and will support each other. And people really appreciate the opportunity to come. I remember in the early days, one lady coming and she was practically in tears because, quote, she said, everybody was so lovely because we weren't judging her. We weren't assessing her needs. We were just welcoming her in and saying, yep, come on in, you know. We'll do what we can for you. And we can't solve everything, but we can at least make sure they've got some food in their stomachs. Recently, we've been doing some cooking demonstrations. So I've been going along and had a dish that I'd prepared earlier so that people could taste it, and trying to use ingredients from the pantry to get people to think a bit more imaginatively and get them onto a healthier diet. But that's been really appreciated by customers in the food bank. We've had some really lovely feedback and we do little recipe cards for them so that they can take it home and do it themselves. And I've got feedback from those sessions. People have come the next week and said, I made that sausage casserole and it was really good. Or I made that tomato soup and it was best. You know, and so they do appreciate when other people make that effort for them and try to make it easier for them to live their lives by something as simple as giving them simple recipes that they can make quickly on a family budget. Okay, I'm going to hand back to Sue now.
Dave also has cooked in the food pantry, but he's away today, so he couldn't speak about it. But he's sorry not to be here. One of the other things you could do if you want to do something to help is this. You've had one of these on your seats. This was produced for Christian Aid Week last year, but we didn't use it then. We didn't get round to it. If you turn to the back page, there is a card for you to send to your MP. This is to our new MP, who's called Sarah Russell, and it says, please, I believe that you can make a difference. Please use your position in Parliament and as my local representative to act on poverty. Interestingly, Sarah Russell has already been to the, before she was elected, was at the food pantry, so she knows about that. If you could sign that, dear Sarah, or dear Ms. Russell, or whatever you want to put, and sign it, these will go to her from us, we hope in large numbers, to say to her, you are our representative. Please remember in your dealings in Parliament, the poor. We did invite her to come today, but of course it's the Labour Party conference, isn't it? And I think it was short notice. So please, either give it back to any of us today or bring it back next week. And then we will make sure she gets all those letters and she will know the degree of support there is from here. Don't send it to Christian Aid, no. Let us pray. Living God, you have heard our concern for your people in poverty. You know our commitment to help, not to pass by. Now we offer you all our thoughts and our prayers for those people. We offer you all that you have said to us this morning, both about Sandbach and about the UK and about poverty in the world. Will you hold all of them in your loving hands? Will you make us part of the answer to our prayers? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And some closing words from Iona, sent to us by Howard and Andrea. God of new beginnings, you long for us to live in love and justice with our neighbor, with friends and strangers, with people everywhere. You call us to be just and loving in our working, in our shopping, in our caring, and through our prayers. Jesus, you were a storyteller. You talked about money, wages, and taxes. You told stories about integrity and forgiveness. You helped people who were in trouble. You listened to people who were sad. You call us to love as you did, to listen to each other, to be forgiving, to love our neighbours as we love ourselves. Holy Spirit, we are discovering what you are asking of us. You were wild and wise, and you speak the truth. You challenge and comfort us. You breathe life into us. You shout in the streets and whisper in our ears. You remind us what Jesus taught and did. You tell us to turn around. You call us to walk in love's way. Holy Trinity, God, love in community. Every day, in all our living, help us to say yes to you. Amen. So as we go, the light of God to lead us, the power of God to hold us, the joy of God to heal us, the grace of God to caress us, the love of God to bless us, will go with us. Amen. Amen. And because of that, we shall go out with joy. Ninette, hang on just a minute. Have you got a minute? Yes. Yes, Ninette, what do you want to do? Do you want to come here? It's that one there.
Can you hear me? Thank you. When Mark asked one of his questions, I thought he was saying, where do we find poverty in Sandbach? So I was going to give the wrong answer to his question. There's a lady downtown that sells the, whatever it's called, newspaper, and I always buy from her, and I always stop and talk to her. I've bought her the occasional drink, but I don't do it regularly, and I miss her. I've known her for a long, long time. When I was there this last week, she didn't look very well, and she said, I asked how she was, and she said she had a really bad toothache. And so I was chatting to her, and I know that she comes from Manchester. So your perception is this lady is selling these magazines on the street, but she's paid for a train fare from Manchester. And I said, oh, dear, dear, are you going to go to the dentist? And she said, no, I can't afford to go. She said, I know I need to go. So I said, doesn't the big issue have any way they can help you? And she said, it's very difficult. If you've worked at some stage and you have a national health insurance number, I'm not going to get all the story wrong, but you can't get so much if you have worked and you've actually... So she could get national health treatment, but you still pay, don't you, to have your thing done. I hadn't got a cheque, I hadn't got any money with me on me, but my brain thought, I'm going to go to the dentist's and just say, I know she'll be gone, but if she's still in pain another time, is there any way maybe you could do a filling free? So I'm just putting that to you. I haven't been yet because of the silly fair, but I just feel that we don't always see poverty. Someone might wash their clothes nicely and da-da-da. I know she's got a little child. I've known her for a long time. And then when it came togetherness, my whole thought suddenly thought, if I discover she's got a still bad and the dentist won't do it, if I mentioned it, if anyone would give me the odd pound, I'd put the rest together and get her to be able to have her tooth fixed, but I probably won't see her now, and hopefully it's been done. But I just feel it's important that people know.
Thank you. Yeah, we all know the lady, well, don't we? Outside Waitrose. Yes. I am reminded that we have had no offering today. We will receive your offering during our final hymn as we go.
You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands, and the trees.
God, we bring before you our gifts. You know best how this should be this money should be spent. We thank you for the way you spoke to Ninette the other day. We pray for that lady. Lord, use our money and use us as you know best. And now, as we go, take us out with joy. Amen.